Draken Library with Miss Virginia Harvey. In the museum. All right, so tell me about some of the things that we have in here.
Well, this, we acquired these pictures. This came after the centennial.
Mm-hmm.
We hated to not have them before. Well, maybe we might have gotten pretty soon. No, yeah, we got them in time for the centennial. And Sarah got this frame. But this is different areas of these huge logs that were cut all in this area. And then you can tell how large they are here. But it was, the mill was by the railroad track. A lot of this wretching, you know, is written up in the book. But it's right down, say, between this street and Potlicker Lane, mm-hmm. along the railroad path. See, because they shipped by rail. And this up here is a letter that a good friend that worked in the office at Flower Lumber Company wrote to Daddy after he went to Army World War One. And we just blew up that letterhead so we could have, you could tell what all they cut and processed and all, yellow pine, timber, lumber. And then you want to look on through here and these other things. This is old post office stuff. Tell me then.
From when it was, when did the bank become the post office? When did that happen? Was the bank strictly for the lumber company?
No. Bank was just the bank of Jenkins. Let me see. I have to look at the book again to get the dates. It's in it.
Okay.
You can pick that up from that. But anyhow, it became then, well, you can get the dates then too when the post office moved into the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then another interesting thing, a mile marker is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rare to see a mile marker anyway. Like 22 miles, I think, that way. But now these items were, Emmett gave us these.
From Doris from the post office?
No, real Mary Carey, Uncle Jay got it.
Real Carey.
Uh-huh. Uncle Jay, see my daddy was second Mary Carey, and then Uncle Jay was next. And so these things were used in
Jay.
Dick Ivey.
Okay.
Well, Dick's granddaddy would be Ralph's father, you know. And these things came out of this post office too, and then there's old letterheads. This is interesting, Gretchen. These are real letters, found that ain't dots.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's Eckerdale, first post office.
Oh, and Eckerdale had a post office.
And then it moved,
Josephine.
Then it moved to Josephine, then it moved up here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in the book. See here the dates.
Miss Webb told me Josephine was up there where Ben Clinton has that store now. That's what she said.
But I think it was over
on the
closer
side
to the river.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you'll find the post office history in the book too. And this is Daddy's Model T carrying the mail in. See the mail bag hanging up there.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did y'all get started working on the centennial? Because now, we were talking about this earlier. I remember when I was little, then these stores were still open. And then about when do you think it was when everything closed? I was thinking I was maybe 11, which would have been like 84. Mid-80s is when
Miss Stacy finally had.
I remember things kind of closing.
Oh, gee, it's all in the book, but I don't remember those dates.
Well, I can go back and look them up, but things were closed for at least 10 years.
Yes.
What
we moved back in 75, so
everything was open then.
It was still open.
Okay, J.W. had the M store, and I guess Aunt Edith and Billy probably operated the Harvey store, the last of the people, and then Mr. Crook, and then Mr. Sewell.
Then Mr. Sewell had it.
He was last, I believe.
Right, the last one in that store.
In that part. Okay, then.
And what kind of things they have in that store? Was that a general?
They still had ice cream.
Everything. I did all our family grocery shopping there. Come from work, you know, stop by. Our canned goods and meats.
And was the were the canned goods local canned goods or were they packaged canned goods?
Yeah.
And then the meats? What about the meats?
Then those days, and I don't know if they're still trucked in or not, you buy your stuff, and Daisy bought her stuff.
Except Miss Daisy had chickens in the back of the store. She did some have egg. She had live chickens right back in here.
And she
sure did.
Okay.
She had chickens and had the little, it was awful. But she had those chickens back there. Yeah. They were in the cages. I did that at one time.
I remember that.
Sure did.
Yeah, I remember.
She sold eggs.
Well, she was sewing. And she made some dresses for me. Her in the middle room said, this is
her and that. Why? The chicken room was the
last
part.
Okay.
You didn't, because I'm trying to think. I remember going in this front part, but I don't remember coming back in here.
You couldn't by the time you were.
No.
Okay.
But she had a sewing machine, though. Right. She did sewing all the time. And then, of course, you remember how she sat up front.
Right. And that's still the same. The counter is still the same. Yeah. She sat on that stool.
And the shelving is a little bit, because we just got more shelving than she had. We tried to
get better lights. I just remember it always being dark.
She moved her sewing machine back up to the clothes store later on.
Right. But she, anyhow, what we did is, Yvonne arranged for an architect to come and do this plan before we tore down her old store. See, she did it the store to the city.
Was the store just in such bad shape?
Yeah.
She
had been closed, 10, 15 years, don't you reckon, Marilyn? I don't know, in the late 70s.
Oh, that's so.
And of course, it was all wood, and that she hadn't spent a lot keeping it up. And we first thought we could. Got somebody to look at it and see and if it could be repaired, but all this other stuff was rotted out. So then the next plan was to just go ahead and make a replica of it. Of course, it's built out of stuff that won't deteriorate. Mm-hmm. It's vinyl siding outside and cement floor and all that stuff. But at the beginning, I reckon, after the businesses were all closed, we go back to the stores here.
Yeah.
The Rogers bought, I don't know, Tommy, you mind? They must have bought all of that except Mr. Crook's part, that part.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last thing standing.
Which was which part?
The inn.
Okay.
This inn store.
All
right. Right here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Right next to Miss Daisy's.
All
right,
and that's gone.
Somebody moved up. They made draperies or something.
They used it. And that was the last thing. Now, the Rogers on the rest of this, and of course, the roof had caved in and it was crummy. It was beyond using. Now, for a while, they had antiques there. You remember that?
Right.
Yeah. And tried to keep it going. And it was an interesting building inside. This in the book has a picture of how it looked, and Uncle Bud standing in the back. But anyhow, so the Rogers deeded that property to the town. Okay, and all that, this was last thing standing, and it wound up a lady in over in Alabama on that part. Came to the Dosters, I believe, that owned this piece of land. J.W. Farms, I think he rents. And she was kind of hard to deal with, but Tommy Rogers finally got it worked out. And I can't remember if the town had to pay her a little bit, but she might have just finally given it to her.
So she still owns the land across the...
Oh, yeah, she may. I don't know, that farmland. You know, that big field of from the Evanses down.
Right way.
So we were at the last minute, couldn't hardly start doing anything here, but the plans were already in the mill to finish tearing it down because it already caved in. But and I don't know whose idea was to do a centennial, but it was might have begun with the Rogers more than anybody. Tommy was a good man. He knew how to get things started too. But anyhow, the thing is, Gretchen, Dennis Spooner bulldozed all of that. It was all this brick and everything everywhere. And it was March, I think, before he got that down. And the centennial was May the 27th. And Tony did, and Dennis knocked this brick down too. And Tony got in here and built this. Everything. The gazebo got done, all. by May the 27th. But a lot of folks worked, including me, because we had to, after they pushed all that down, glass was in spots where it was days it wasn't. The old bottles had been laying around and all out there. Chunks of bricks, and so we got out there, half a dozen of us, you know, picked up all the, tried to get what was somebody cutting foot on it, that kind of stuff. But it had a, I, we were just afraid it wasn't going to get done because the plans had already been set and mailing had already gone out to people that we knew, you know, about.
But the town got grants for this thing.
Well, got a grant for the gazebo. That paid for it. And we couldn't get anything here. So we met with the council and everybody talked where they could talk in the right places. So the town of Jenkin paid for half of it. Okay, and us volunteers promised to get up the other half. Need to go again? So we did. It seemed like it's $42,500, I believe, to build this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Tony did it, and he did cut it down to rock bottom to do that. And I don't remember, somewhere we got a list of all the contributors, but anyhow, we were shocked to death that town would go halfway that day. I think they did.
So, now, the Centennial was, I came back.
You came for it.
I was in Athens at that time, and it was really nice. Have y'all?
A great one, yeah.
Yeah, it was. A lot of people have, and I know the library is open on Saturdays, and you said that, what other kind of community things, since that Centennial, are y'all planning on doing or hoping to do? Or, and I guess the other thing I was wondering is, have you thought about having just a Jenkin Day every year on the, you know, near the day of the Centennial?
Yeah, we've thought about things, and a lot of people said after that was such a success, man, when you gonna do another one?
Right, because it really was.
Yeah, it was. But Gretchen, we run out of volunteers. Though that handful of us that did all of this, we're about to kill ourselves and then to tackle another one. I don't know. But they do, the gazebo is used for picnics, birthday parties, and I don't know if it's been a wedding. I know a wedding was planned, which would be nice.
It would be.
And then, of course, in the past, we did Christmas things, too.
Cookout, Halloween, and trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, Yvonne did that one time, and then several Christmases we did things. This like we down to about four of us, and so we just couldn't handle it anymore, and the town was going to take care of the Christmas, but they did buy street lights, but they didn't do the other stuff, the stuff that we used for these outdoor things.
We had gospel sings, didn't we?
We would have choirs from all the churches to come do Christmas carols. Even the black churches participated.
Mm-hmm.
That's one good thing. The Centennial brought that about, more participation by the blacks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the day after, the Sunday after Centennial on Saturday, we had a sing, and all these other churches, black churches and white churches, all brought their huge choirs of blacks, you know, had their robes on and that kind of stuff. And then, like I say, then the Christmases after then we did, had invited, but then after a while that fizzled out too. So it wasn't done this last Christmas anyhow, and I don't know if anybody will try it again, but one thing that's still active, Gretchen, is in addition to us having this, is Jenkin Community Club still meets, and it's 30 more years old, and monthly. And of course, we're a handful now, but we don't let it die. We're going to try to keep hanging in. So that's something that helps here in Jenkin. And right now, that's about all that's, I know of, that's in the mill continuing. And of course, through the summer, they plan, the librarian here, the one that
does the weekdays, different things for children during the summer. We have summer program, I guess what you call it. Mm-hmm. So that's going on every year, ever since there's been a library. Of course, the library began in the Mosley store. You knew that, didn't you?
Right, I did.
And they began with summer programs then. And then finally getting the children to come in to the library here. Jean Rethford, she stays until the school bus runs, so and they come in and check out books, and she has a program going.
And you have good participation with
pretty children? Pretty good. It's kind of spasmodic, like she said, right now. It's not too many coming in, but spring and summer is usually better. And then we have that unit that comes, health unit, once a month. I think it's still coming too. And it parks right across there, and you come and get free.
Oh, really? Free
for the
extra check?
You know, that kind of stuff, And of course, they need more participation too. Let's see if I can picture that. Yeah, that's.
And that comes once a month, you say?
Yeah, first of the month.
Well, that must be another good thing to draw people here.
Yeah, I can't read it. It's got a name for the unit, but see, it's this huge thing, and you just walk in, it's got all the equipment.
And Jenkin had at one time a doctor and a dentist, right? Do you remember
the vet? No. See, upstairs here, well, Yvonne and him found the dentist chair.
Oh, they did?
In upstairs, yeah. And a few of the tools, but she said before we could get a lot of the things moved out, somebody just hold on that chair, I think. But anyhow, and after this, when you read your book again, you'll remember some of these things, but lots of things happened up there. That was the center, I guess.
Well, do you remember anything down there for anything?
No, as a child, see, there weren't.
We were not smart, but he was down on the highway.
Yeah. They had to close it off, and of course, in my childhood now, I would come. We come lived in South Carolina come summers, and we'd want to go up those stairs, but they wouldn't let us go up that stairs. But then I remember that Daddy told us a lot about the things that went on there. The Masonic Lodge was held there. Mm-hmm. Now here's the Masonic stuff that came from that.
I saw that.
Yeah, so Yvonne salvaged that.
Mm-hmm.
This and this, and we found. Here's the lodge book on it, and we've got minutes from the lodge. It was from there over here, which not really, I don't think, should be publicized. It's kind of a secret on the lodge, but we got it.
Well, now, when did you move back full-time to Jackson?
We moved back to between Christmas and January of 38, 39, and they had a boat farm down there, known as the Old Donaldson Place.
And did your, was it your father that had the store, or was your uncle that had
uncle.
The store?
Daddy.
Were they still running that then?
Yeah. Two uncles then, and Daddy had been a partner in that store when he was a young man before he went to the Army.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, it was Harvey Brothers, Coot and Uncle Bud. And they had the gin, built two gins, I think, two or three, and they burned, and so they didn't build back in the later years. But so in the store, he'd have everything, shoes, overalls, hats, groceries, and the thing I remember was the ice box, where he'd have drinks, cold drinks, you know. You've seen some of those in here. And you pull one door back and reach down and get out Orange Crush or something like that. That was the fun to get to come to do that. And of course the store, Miller store, was like that too. They didn't have as much in it, I don't think, as here. Because this was big building all the way back, and see, it had farm tools.
Did people gather in the store?
Yeah, they'd hang around. Out, you still see some of these little benches across here.
There were more of them a long time ago.
I remember the bench out from Miss Daisy's store. Mr. Silver yeah. sat on that bench.
Right. Well, seeing they were there out front of that store. And so people just sit there and on down to Moser's store. And Harry was always had a checker game going on. And a lot of the local people just sit there playing checkers. That I don't know if they did checkers much in here, but people would just come to town and visit. Those days, stores would stay open Saturday nights, 11 o'clock, like they did in Dawsonville. And you could drive, you could park here if you had cars, but of course to begin with, it was horses and buggies tied into here now. When this street was paved, the Rogers owned this building then, and the hitching post was still here.
Mm-hmm.
So Tommy asked me, did I want the hitching post for the paved, they paved all of this across there. And I said, yeah, so I've got it in my log house up there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime I thought I would have mounted on the outside, but it...
About what year did they pave the road? When was that?
I don't know. 50s, I guess. I don't know. We'll have to check with somebody else that might can remember. Daisy was living, she tells.
You remember? But there was more people came to town?
Yeah, because there wasn't anywhere else to go much. And, you know, like, even up to Mr. Sewell's time, after he quit operating the store, he'd even come to drive into town and sit at Daisy's, on Daisy's bench.
Right, right.
And like, see, like this is his, that's his car.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and he'd sit at Daisy's bench.
That bench.
Mm-hmm.
That one, this
see, now be. This is all paved then, mm-hmm. so.
Well, I remember it looking like that.
Yeah, okay, so. But see, now this, okay, this would be in the late 30s. I think this is like 30. 8 or 9, somewhere along there. So, I'm thinking it's probably in the late 40s or early 50s that it was paved.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can look up somewhere and find out.
What were some of the, do you remember some of the social things that people did or that you participated in or?
Well, there wasn't too much for young people outside of church and school stuff, you know, that Jake in school, they had good ball teams, basketball.
Mommy played basketball.
Yeah.
Did Benny play basketball?
Benny played basketball too?
I think he played 1 year, but then I think he was
the
manager or something. He went.
Well, Maryland, they had some good teams too, I remember. Well, who went on into college basketball? Frank Miller, was he the one that, he was, anyhow, this was played outside on dirt court, wasn't it? Until they built the gym.
They had a really nice gym.
Yeah, on dirt courts, but anyhow. Gretchen, you just got to get dates out of the history book. I just can't remember the dates.
That's fine.
But now, farther back on, what went on in Jenkins, say the time of Joe Webb's time and of the sawmill time, was the Jenkins Study Club.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they say 2,000 people lived in Jenkins, didn't they? And we found this is some of Aunt Dot's yearbooks, I guess you call it. Mm-hmm. Club, see, like that was
mm-hmm.
1921. And it tells who the members are then and gives programs in it, all that kind of stuff. So I found two of those, and then we made copies like this so people can look at them easier than these might fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
But Aunt Dot didn't throw anything away. Daddy didn't throw much away, so that's how we came by having all this stuff.
So how many people do you think you know, just approximately when y'all came back, or late 40s or mid 40s here.
Well, it was still
about the same size as now, or bigger than now.
Bigger than now. Because, see, we have so many of the homes moved away, you know, that nobody's living in. Say, all right, like the town.
That's right, now, because that, even when I was younger, there were
a lot of people here. Yeah. Say, now, like Glenn Sanyard, he was the first ag teacher that Jakin ever had. Mm-hmm. All right, and that was the late 30s. Sure enough. Joe was in his ag class, and I think that first year, and Joe was the first FFA member to be a state farmer. But anyhow, and then Jack Sutton's grandmother, Miss Emma Lou, and Miss Mays' mother, the big house, you remember it with the porch? So she kept all the teachers, and I visited a lot then. So yeah, that year after we moved here, I had gone to school and went to college, but I didn't, when we were in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go the next year, but then I went to Andrew after that. So the year I was home and helping straighten up that dilapidated farm down there and help mother with things at home, I would come into Jakin, and sometimes I'd spend the night with the school teachers and do things with them, like on the corner room, Agnes Mosley and Doc Caldwell lived there, and I'd spend the night with them. And then across the hall was Bradley Bridges and Virgil Oswald, and all around another room was another couple of teachers. That house was full of teachers, and sometimes I'd eat. Miss Emily was a good cook, and I have to walk in from home sometimes, because Daddy had the car and he was still winding up in South Carolina. So now I'd walk in and spend the night and eat with them. And then there were other young people in the area too, like the guys that came back from World War II, mm-hmm. or were still involved and be home on leave. Well, and of course they made teachers some.
Well, actually the school was the biggest part of Jakin.
It was.
And once it closed, when Jakin really started going down.
Yeah, yeah, because see, then across the street was Vesta Minna and her brothers were still living too. And then Miss Fanny, you know, she kept teachers too. The other house, all those are gone. All those houses are gone. And of course, the Clark Moser house is gone. Well, they had children in and out there, and Elizabeth taught school, and Deerford kept a nice home there, and Jakin was lively, sure enough.
Everything was at the center of the school. No matter what you had, it was always at the center.
It was either school or church, was all it was.
Right.
And everybody did get involved. You know, like when they have ball games after they got the gym.
Right.
I think everybody went to the ball game.
Everything at the concession stand was homemade, because you didn't have anything that was bought.
Yeah.
They brought it all in, fudge and divinity.
And everybody went, didn't they, to the games.
Everybody did. The gym was packed.
Yeah, and then, they'd already built the cafeteria, so, and they would have things there in the cafeteria. Came a time that county wouldn't, and state wasn't paying for all the teachers they needed or for another month, maybe it was another month. And so we'd have Sunday dinners.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Good meals. And
they had Sunday dinners in the cafeteria, raise money for the teachers'
hours. Yeah, people from Donaldsonville came. And most of the cafeteria workers during school did a lot of the work. And they did the Sunday stuff. And it worked. They paid for that.
Now, who has the lunchroom now? Because I remember the jelly business, because I helped with that one Christmas.
Well, the house in the Wink and Yellow.
They have the lunchroom,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, they owned that property.
I knew they owned the gym, because we used to roll skate there, and they tore it down.
But they owned that cafeteria. That's something I mentioned to Yvonne.
They still own that now? Ben Ford doesn't own it anymore?
Yeah. And I mentioned that to Yvonne to tell Tim that they might could use that for bluegrass.
It'd be nice, because I remember.
That would be.
I mentioned that to Yvonne, and she said she was going to talk to Jean.
Especially if that rained or cold weather location, that'd be nice. But I remember when the paper mill had those parties out there.
The paper mill had their Christmas. They had some Christmas parties. They wanted the
big place, big area.
Well, the group that didn't want to participate in the parties.
Oh, okay.
They, the more family style. Us the catfish and fish fries at the...
Yeah. And it, that was a money-making project. People would have fish suppers, too. But I forgot to tell you, the community club started in the cafeteria.
At the school?
Yeah.
Why did the school close?
You got to look at the book. I got the dates because I had to find them out.
Well, it started
in the 60s, like 65.
Oh,
I think.
It was 63
is when the school closed, but I mean, why?
Well, because all of the counties wanted to consolidate, so all the schools closed.
Went to Blake.
And went to Blake, Early County. And the ones of us that were lucky enough did try to go to Dallasville because it was so much closer. But see, we already had Cedar Springs coming to Jenkin.
And Springfield.
And that's right. But then they chose to close them all. I don't know if it was something that passed in the Senate or what, but all the schools consolidated in Georgia.
And other states, like if you go down through Northwest Florida, you see empty school buildings.
Like in Bascom. Yeah. School in Bascom.
And Campbellton, places like that. Cottonwood, that was a crazy idea to do that because, and it, like Marilyn said, it destroyed the town of Jenkin, the community of Jenkin, we'll call it, really did. But things didn't go to pot and around until some of the farming, people quit farming as much, I guess, and then the gin burned, you know, so there was nowhere to take your cotton to. That brought people into town. And then, see, like Uncle Bud, he did his paperwork for the gin in that store. Mm-hmm. They had black long glass counters, and he had all his stuff spread out on that counter. Elsa worked for him one summer to help him with the cotton gin records. So that did, and then not as many people farming as used to be. The paper mill come and help some, but not a lot. We didn't have that many to live here. Not many, a few. But at least it has a little more income other than depending completely on farming.
Well, by the time the paper mill came in, the schools were in jeopardy within those. A couple of years from then, people just did not want to move because their children would be bused 23 miles.
Yeah. That's a long ways in the wintertime. The little first graders, kindergartners go that far. But anyhow, Gretchen, that's a trophy case that came out of the school. The different trophies were won. I guess a lot of those were, would have to be basketball was on the four play, wasn't it?
There was baseball.
Baseball too.
Baseball and basketball.
Yeah. And of course there's old records of the community club here. We brought them over here. That was over in the courthouse.
Now what kind of things do y'all do in the community club now?
Well, we take turns hosting, and the host will plan a program or invite a speaker or something, and then first we eat, we have good food, you know, Jenkin knows how to cook, and then we have the program, and we manage to have enough volunteers to be officers to carry on with it, and then have a program, and then we always sing afterward. We got songbooks over there. Have a good time singing. We can about blow the roof off the building. But it's like down to 13 to 15. Mm-hmm. But when it was up at in the old cafeteria, there was one time Miss Emily was invited to be a speaker and tell about her life coming to Jenkin. Mm-hmm. We had 100 people attending that. That's what was in the community then. But everybody was a member then. Everybody came. I expect Blanche and Choco in there too. They would have been coming to it then. You might have been a little baby then or whatever when we started. That was in like 60,
61, let's see. Sometime.
Unfortunately.
Okay. The Jagan Community Code Blank began July 1966.
Who donated the jacket? The Jagan High School jacket? Had one of those.
That's Sarah. Sarah did, and I don't know how she came by it. Somebody must have given it to her because she went to school in Donaldsonville, you know. But Sarah gave it to us. We had it hanging.
You got a white one with the gray one. Jake and Robinson.
Now for the centennial, Betty and Jerry Miller let us display. I bet his was an FFA jacket.
Y'all might know it. Yeah, I remember seeing that. And she was a sweetheart.
So, but they, of course, wanted them. And that's more out of the old school, that clock. Mm-hmm. Came out of the ag building of the old school. Eventually, we want to get some more shelving and get these pictures hung. And we need more shelving all the way around because stuff is kind of cluttered here. We'd love to have it displayed better, but it's better than it was because we got these shelves built. And this is all Jacob records starting way back. We found it. Yvonne found a good many of them up here in this old store. Mm-hmm. And then when she rented the Mosley store, she found a lot of the old Jacob records there too. So it all the store like this is Harvey Brothers store. 1924. This is
the ledger.
Mm-hmm. And then this is Harvey Brothers. Well, before it became Harvey Brothers, it was just Uncle Bud. 1916. And I found a lot of this in Aunt Dot's stuff too. Now, up over, if you remember reading the history up over this upstairs,
mm-hmm.
was even a skating rink one time. And these are the records.
The upstairs was a skating rink?
Yeah.
Because I know when we went, but it was the gym.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that was just wood floor, I'm sure. But Arthur Miller.
What year would that have been a skating rink? In the
20s? 1912.
1912. Goodness.
See, I've just put this on the outside. It's kind of flimsy, so I just rolled one here. These were the owners, Aubrey Dolby Miller, Lee Bivens, and Charles Bivens, 1912. I think I have that in there. In history books too. Which a lot of this stuff I either found it ain't Dodge or Yvonne found it around too.
What are some of the things that you would like to see happen ideally, you know, with the future mm-hmm. of
Jacob? I wish more people would enjoy this library and museum than do. Some live around here and never even been in it.
Why do you think that is?
I wish I knew. If it was me, you know, I'd be hunting places like that, but not everybody's interested in old like I am. But we have a lot to see here, and a lot, and it's all our past. Here's a ledger. This big ledger's from the Mosley store. Now then, we have somebody come by, though, doing genealogy, doing research on their family. And I have helped out one or two that say, like, I believe it was a Newberry family. And I had looked through the Mosley ledger and found Newberry names. See, it's indexed. Mm-hmm. And they could determine whether family, you know, family be all gone now. And another person I helped with that is, this is his mail route. Mailboxes, name of the mailbox. And I found names that help people. This is from 1917, 1918. And they could locate family, like they didn't know where they lived. Mm-hmm. And this would say the right box number, still Route 1. Just that kind of people usually the ones, there's the old courthouse, see it up yonder?
I remember it.
Yeah, now it had struggle, grew up all around it.
Right. That's how I remember that.
And there's an old, bench over here that came out of that courthouse. This long wooden bench is still over there. Sometime on.
In the courthouse? Yeah. Should bring it back up here.
Yeah. We need more room. See, we're running out of space. This is
Now, this was the first doctor, Harrison Miller. And he had a drugstore too. Now, that's in the history book too, with Hannah. And O.B. Miller was sort of a jerker for him.
Have y'all thought about, this is a different subject, but have y'all thought about doing a Jake and Cook book, or is that something you have done?
We've done that.
You gonna do another edition?
I don't know. Somebody to do these things is a problem. Gretchen, come back. Rebecca said she wants to come back.
Yeah,
she said
you
did
talk
too.
About that.
So y'all come back and do see. Pick up where we left off. Yeah, y'all can do that. Think about it. Get you a job. I know you can't find a job here, but you could commute. Couldn't you, Meryl?
That's true. She's got a house out there waiting. She can just move out.
Yeah. This is families, anybody that could give me any material on families that used to live here, but I can't help with the future.
My grandparents lived here. Daddy's parents did.
Yeah.
And you got something on your glass?
I like.
So what were you going to say?
I said I couldn't help much with the future. I want to. But like I say, we have to have more help, other people are interested. But I'm thankful that I'm interested in the past, because I don't know if we'd have any of this stuff. Between me and Yvonne, we've done all of this, mostly. And of course, I thank God and Daddy and all the rest of them have saved the stuff. We wouldn't know a thing about the past, either. But it's a place you love. People that ever lived here, and they come out and visit, and they say that years and Jackie were some of the happiest years that they ever had. And, that's good. Has been a good, clean community. I don't know how clean it is now, not living in Jackie. And
actually, I feel like it's cleaner now.
Oh yeah, then say anywhere. Then don't something, gosh.
Well, definitely. Well, there seems to be, I mean, for Jackson to be such a small town, yeah, there seems to be more community interest to me,
yeah,
than there is in Dawson Mill, where they have more funds and service and, you know, resources and people.
Yeah.
Y'all done so much more than they have.
Yeah, we're trying. And I think this will hold it together. Mm-hmm. These two fixtures, the gazebo and this, and if somebody will hang in. And now the council is meeting. They used to meet over the course. They're meeting here. That's why we have to have these tables in. Really, we don't need, that takes up a lot of space,
right,
here.
Right, right.
But they meet once a month here, and that makes them a little more interested in here. And they have the library's been in the budget now. 2 years in half. We weren't in it for a while. We had to just, contributions kept us going here, but they have $500-$600 or something like that in the budget, and then of course we do a little money making projects. That's something else I hadn't thought to tell you, Gretchen, about. I have a bake sale like for Thanksgiving to make money for the library stuff, and then somebody comes by and leaves us a check for $50 or $100. When we did, you missed Daisy's dedication. Oh, that was a great time. Marilyn didn't show up for that, did you?
No.
Well, see here, you saw that, the announcement, did you?
I did see it in the announcement, yes.
Yeah, okay. She had the best time. And attendance came pretty good, too, about 60. But, and before she left, she, because we had refreshments over there, and had the plaque that's out front.
Right.
We had it on this and had it covered and just unveiled it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Ramon did the invocation, and he had a crazy beard there. But, and I remember he was standing by, and Kenneth was standing by, and he leaned down and hugged her neck. She said, "When you gonna shave?" So then she came on over here, Phil's wife and the two little children were here. None of the boys didn't get to come. But then they rolled her on over here, and she sat and and enjoyed seeing everybody, that some people from out there mm-hmm. came now. And before she left, she gave us a check for $100, I think. Of course, and we've had donations.
You've received since Miss Daisy died, too, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
You said in the paper.
Yeah, we've had, I mailed a thank you note today. We had four checks came in for things to use. And Jean found us a book drop. You see that? It's a plastic dog food bin, I think that's right. But it works, and we didn't have a book drop to do that, too. But anyhow, if this will keep going, and I think more people are using the gazebo. But another thing, too, the telephone out there, man. Too.
I saw that. That's a good
idea. Recent, too. That might bring more people into town. And of course, Yvonne closed the candle business. That you have to have a lot of traffic to make a business go. And the Chandler boy, he had the crafts and the artifacts and stuff, and he still got it. He'll be here with it some more, and maybe that'll bring some people in. But you know, it's a little far from off the highway. They'll have signs, you know, come in, but I don't know if it's closer. It'll work better. So you'll have to ask me what else. Gretchen, what else you want to know about? As, like I say, I know more about the past than I know about what we can do in the future, but...